Blog Talk Radio.
The views expressed on AM360 by the host, hostesses, or guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the community-wide Shure Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific and personal medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to consult an advisor for your specific circumstances.
This meeting is being recorded.
You're on mute, brother, ma'am.
You have been muted by the meeting host and cannot unmute yourself.
All right? Yes.
Okay. Assalamu alaikum, everyone. Let us begin with Al-Fatiha. Bismillahi r-Rahmani r-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmani r-Rahim. Maliki Yawmiddin. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Ihdina sirata mustaqim. Sirata ladina an amta alayhim. Ghayril maghdubi alayhim. Wala dalin. Ameen. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All praise is due to Allah, the God and Evolver, the Cherisher and Sustainer of all the systems of knowledge, the merciful benefactor, the merciful Redeemer, the sole judge on the day of religion. We worship you only, and we turn to you only, begging assistance. Guide us on the straight way, the way of those on whom you bestow blessing, not those who incur wrath, nor those who go astray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Welcome to Study Al-Islam. I am your sister and friend, Fitra Muhammad. Study Al-Islam is being presented to you in a four-part series. Today is the first Sunday, and the series is on Muslim Black Africans, Muslim African Americans, and their contributions to the spread of Al-Islam in the world, past, present, and future, inshallah. Our guest speaker is Imam Abdul Aziz. His bio is in the Study Al-Islam newsletter that you received on Saturday. If you did not receive the newsletter, you can visit studyalislam.com and become a subscriber. Welcome, Imam Abdul Aziz. We are ready for you. And just for the listening audience, Imam Aziz will be speaking until about 10:45. At that time, please, if you have any questions, place them in chat so that he can answer them. Welcome, Imam Abdul.
Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam. Welcome.
Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen wa bihi nasta'in. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihil karim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Wassalamu ala imam warasdin. Wa assalamu alayna wa ala ibadihi salihin. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وتنذر نفس ما كتمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون. We seek refuge in Allah from Shaitan the accursed, and we begin with the name of Allah, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. We praise him and we seek his aid, and we humbly ask that the prayers and peace be upon his noble messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, And we ask that the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his peace be upon Imam Dr. Waraful Deen Muhammad. And we ask Allah establishes peace amongst ourselves and the righteous servants of Allah, no matter where we may be, no matter where we may be from. And to all of that, we say Ameen. I openly bear witness that there is absolutely none worthy of worship or praise except Allah, who is unique without any associate whatsoever. And I bear witness that Muhammad is his servant and messenger. Allah calls our attention in the Quran and he says, O ye who have obtained true faith, be mindful of Allah and fear him with a rational fear. And let every person consider what they send out for tomorrow. And be mindful of Allah, fearing him rationally, for surely he is aware of everything that you do. We want to begin by extending the greetings of peace to you, the greetings of the angels, the greetings of paradise. Assalamu alaikum rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We want to first begin by thanking Study Al-Islam, our dear sister Fitra, for maintaining, holding the line with this particular program and initiative. And we want you to know that this is an honor for us. We are grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we pray at this time that Allah blesses us to get the most out of this little bit of time we have together. To that, we say Ameen. To all of our seasoned members, we want to thank you for your services, and we are just here just trying to let you know that your efforts did not go in waste. We pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he continues to bless all of you in everything that you do in this life and the next, and that the legacy that we're trying to uphold is maintained by us so that the others who come after us will benefit as well. And to that, we say Ameen. When we talk about Bala ibn Rabah, may Allah be pleased with him, we go back to 1975 in Muhammad Speaks. It was in October 24th. Imam Muhammad gracefully shared with us a wisdom that we may not have known at the time when he introduced us to the personality, the iconic personality of Bilal ibn Rabah. May Allah be pleased with him. And when he introduced him to us, he introduced him to us as an iconic figure, not just a slave. And sometimes we look back because I was blessed to accept Islam in 1981. And my first book was Bilal, the book on Bilal. And so I spent my life basically in Islam shadowing this idea behind Bilal being a slave, that this is everybody that I spoke to that was not from amongst us. They gave me the idea about him just being a slave. They didn't tell me about the iconic figure. Or how Bilal became. It wasn't how you start, it's how you end. And so we look at his life and what Imam Muhammad introduced to us, may Allah be pleased with him. And I am very grateful, the community is very grateful for the fact that he introduced us to this iconic figure who was not just the person who was a former slave, but he was indeed the first muezzin of the community. He was the a personal assistant of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the caretaker of the Baitul Mal, and a lot of other things. We look at the importance of the Adhan itself, and we find that the Adhan, the caller of prayer, is a very important figure in the Muslim community. Why on the Day of Judgment, the first thing that we'll be judged on is our Salat. And so as years went on, I continued hearing people just introduce Bilal to me as a slave. I didn't get them to introduce him to me the way Imam Muhammad introduced him to me. And when he first introduced it, or when I first became familiar with the teachings of Imam Muhammad in the community of Imam Muhammad, I think it was called the AMM, the American Muslim Mission at the time. And so with this little book on Bilal and this information that was limited, I began a journey dealing with the study of his life. But what happened, the reality was, it stopped because all I would hear about him was that he was a slave. The people would introduce Bilal to me as a slave. And so I took some concerns with that. It wasn't until someone from amongst our community, one of the mothers of the believers, Sister Loretta Al-Uqda and Imam Yahya Abdullah, encouraged me to give a presentation about Bilal's life and then subsequently write a book. What we did was we found that Bilal wasn't mentioned in all of these high-level books. I'm going to try to share my screen and go back to one of the major things that assisted me in my efforts to find out about the life of Bilal ibn Rabah. May Allah be pleased with him. And I think my screen...
It's up, Brother Imam.
It's up?
Yes, we can see it.
Okay, I can't see it. I don't know why.
This is very exciting. We really want to know about Bilal and the,
yeah.
And the achievements. Mm-hmm.
So now we look at Bilal ibn Rabah, and I go back to a statement from Imam Muhammad concerning the companions of Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, when you're looking for the Muslim identity, he says you should look at the companions for the Muslim identity. And so taking his statement, follow the logic through its logical conclusion, I started focusing on what companion that we can relate to. And I could not come up with any other companion of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, than Bilal ibn Rabah, may Allah be pleased with him. And because his story is just like our story. If we look at the time in which he was born, Bilal ibn Rabah, may Allah be pleased with him, was born into what would be termed slavery during his time. And his mother, despite what people might think, Hamama, she was a princess who was the person who was happened to be captured in a war that took place during the time of the Prophet Prophet's birth in 570. In 580, Bilal was born, and he was born in a tribe called Banu Jum'ah. Banu Jum'ah was a black tribe. His father was from Mecca, who was also black. And Bilal ibn Rabah was literally born into slavery because the people during his time, they had a caste system where there were some people that were considered people that were of nobility, and there were others who were not. The people who were not considered of nobility, they were people that had no sanctuary. And so this is how Bilal ibn Rabah became a slave. He became a slave despite the fact that his Abyssinian mother, who was a princess, was captured in the war that took place dealing with Abraha ibn Akram, and who tried to destroy the Kaaba. And so she was captured, and she was maintained by Umayyah ibn Khalaf, who became her attendant, who was her slave owner. He owned her and his father. When Bilal was born, at a very early age, Bilal was put out there in the fields, and he was ordered to do certain types of work. He had many skills during this period, and he brought in a lot of money for Umayyah ibn al-Khalaf. And Umayyah, who took all the credit, and we parallel his life, and we see the very same thing happening to our people. We'll get into those parallels later. But what happened was Bilal ibn Rabah, may Allah be pleased with him, grew up witnessing his mother and father being terrorized, having no sanctuary, no one coming back for them. When she was captured in the war, no one came to check for her. No one came looking for her, claiming her. No one identified with the idea that she was even a princess. And so during this period, we find that Bilal himself, the companion of the Prophet, grew up under his charge. And throughout this process, and we're going to go to that in a second. I'm just trying to catch up here with this scrolling. And please don't mind me, because this is like really basically the first time I'm really utilizing this. And so I'm going to try to get right to the point.
I'm sorry, Brother Ma'am, you are so interesting in your talk. If you want to take your screen down, you can, because we can always come back to the book. You are interesting in what you have, learned. If you feel more comfortable taking your screen down, go ahead.
Well, it's okay. I'll leave it there if I just stop scrolling I can just get to the fine points. So when we look at this history of Bilal ibn Rabah, when I took into consideration the advice of Imam Muhammad, may Allah be pleased with him, who left us with some very, very important information. We know that the social scientists also had a scheme. And their scheme was, if they want to keep you down, they give you information that gives you that gives you this idea that you're down. They tell you you're nothing. And then they kind of relate that to the lowest form of your creation. And what was that for the black man and woman? To tell them that they were slaves. And so every time they introduced Bilal to me, and I spoke to many people, I realized that all they could say to me was Bilal the slave. They never even talked about him being the muezzin. They talked about him being the slave. And I used to wonder why all the time. So what I did was I went back and I started to study, and I realized that even though Bilal was ethnically Abyssinian, he was not from Abyssinia. He was from Mecca. He was born and bred in Mecca. His first language was Arabic. He was not only born and bred in Mecca, but he was also someone who had a lot of skills, and that his slavery, his enslavement, was not by choice. So the first time he got an opportunity to get out of that, he got out of that based on his fitra, knowing that this was not correct, knowing that this was wrong. But what I did find out later on in my study was that there were many books that were written about the lives of the companions of the Prophet, and they left out Bilal in these books. Some of the books are, you see the titles here, Hayatul Sahaba, Biographies of the Companions, Stories of the Sahaba, Companions of the Prophet, 100 Great Muslims, Portraits, Volume 1, 2, and 3, Biographies of the Companions, and then they list all of the companions in the book, and they would not list Master Bilal. 100 Great Muslims, Bilal couldn't get his spot. Stories of the Sahaba, no room for Bilal. The Companions of the Prophet, he didn't make the cut. When we look at this idea being presented, it's telling us that they've purposely left Bilal out for what reason? For what reason is that, dear brothers and sisters? So in 580, he was born in Hijaz, and his father, his name was Rabah, and he was an Arab slave who was black from the clan of Banu Juma. His mother, Hanama, as we mentioned, was someone who grew up as a princess. At the same time, she was caught up in that war that they had in 570, and so she was captured, and no one came back for her. So she was bound to slavery. That was the tradition that they had. If you lost the war, then the people that lost 9 out of 10 times, there was a good chance that they would be held in slavery and captivity until they got their freedom. Now, we look at what happened to us, dear brothers and sisters, and we can go back to 1619 and talk about all of those things, but it's a parallel, and Imam Muhammad gave us the life of Bilal ibn Rabah for a reason, because through the course of his life, we find that the very things that happened to us as a people happened to Bilal. When Bilal was first took notice of the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he looked and he took a close look at that and realized that if there is one God, then that God would not have wanted him to be under the charge of someone else, that he would be owned by someone else. He knew that deep down inside. And so what he did was, after talking to Abu Bakr and looking at the small group that was Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and hearing their message, Bilal became attracted to that so much to the point that he began going to the Kaaba and cursing the idols, questioning them. And so one day they found that Bilal was doing such, and they started whispering about that, and they got back to Umayyah ibn al-Khalaf. So he began watching Bilal ibn Rabah. And so when Bilal finally accepted Islam, he would be found praying somewhere by himself, doing it on the sneak, trying to make sure that he got his prayers in during that period of time. A lot of Quran wasn't revealed at that time, so he was basically going off of the little that he knew. And so when they finally got hold of Bilal and began to persecute him because they found that he had accepted the faith, we look at this idea and we see that Umayyah ibn al-Khalaf, who was a prideful guy, they were very superstitious in Mecca. They were people who were big on pride. And so they were also looking at the fact that how would the slave of Umayyah ibn al-Khalaf accept what Muhammad brought? How dare him do that? And he must be ashamed of himself. So they were pressuring him, and so he had to make an example. So what he did was he tried to make an example of Bilal ibn Rabah, may Allah be pleased with him. In 1975, Imam Muhammad introduced us to Bilal ibn Rabah, but he had introduced us to him as Master Bilal. And years later, he began to share stuff with us concerning Bilal ibn Rabah and his life and what he went through. So we hear the highlights about how when he was persecuted, they began beating him, and they took him out in the hot sun, and they put the boulder on him, and they continued to try to get him to renounce the new faith that was introduced to him by Muhammad, may peace and blessing be upon him, someone who they knew for a lifetime as the most truthful and trustworthy person. And so they began persecuting him so much to the point that Bilal himself became a standard for them, because he was shaming them. No matter what they came to him with, he refused, and he said, Ahadun Ahad, Ahadun Ahad. And they turned up the pressure on him, and he continued to say, Ahadun Ahad. And they last said to him, well, just say the idol lock. and Hubal, just say that they're worthy of our worship. And he refused to do so. So every time they tried it, they turned it up. Every time he refused. And his only response was, Ahadun Ahad. And so, as you know the story, many of you already know the story about how Abu Bakr got wind of it. The Prophet ﷺ got wind of it. The companions found out, the small group, and he sent Abu Bakr to try to negotiate the freedom of Bilal ibn Rabah. And once this took place, Umayyah, in his arrogance, he made some statements, and Bilal, Abu Bakr, may Allah be pleased with him, said that if you would have asked for 100 camels, I would have given it to you for him. And so he was freed, and he was put in a position to where he became an equal with people, as opposed to him being this person who was without sanctuary, a person that had nobody looking for them or checking for them or protecting them, no help in the society. He was an outcast, but he was his labor was much needed. They benefited from his labor, but at the same time, he never gave them any credit. He never was allowed to own anything on his own, anything like that. And it parallels to what happened to our people, dear brothers and sisters. But guess what? He made it. But then those people that talk to us or they give us this idea concerning what took place with us, they share with us the worst part of that. They don't share the triumphs and the things that we went through, how we didn't get any help and nobody checked for us. And so Bilal ibn Rabah, may Allah be pleased with him, Master Bilal, who he stands as an iconic figure for us that nobody can touch. Nobody can touch and change his history, even though they'll try to minimize it or try to make it seem like it's not. Like those books that I mentioned to you, how they didn't even mention Bilal. How dare them? But we look at this idea being presented and we find that Allah makes things happen. Despite what people might say or think, Allah still made his story reach us in the way that it reached us. And it reached us by someone who looked like him, that looked like us, from among us, and gave us this idea because Allah in the Quran says, "Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrija linnas," that you are the best of the people. Send out for all mankind. That you enjoy what is right and you forbid what is wrong and you believe in Allah. And so Bilal ibn Rabah's story is a little more important to us, and we lay claim to him despite the fact that they try to minimize his life, his challenges. So when Bilal came to him, he finally was joining the ranks of the Prophet ﷺ and the companions. The Prophet ﷺ took some serious interest in him. And despite the fact that he came into the fold of Islam, racism was still looming. So the Prophet ﷺ began putting Bilal in positions that would make him public all the time. So the first thing he did was he allowed him to become the first muezzin. He became the first muezzin. And he was given the task of calling the people to prayer, despite the fact that the Prophet ﷺ and the companions would say that during the time of the Prophet ﷺ rescuing him or helping him get his freedom, and Abu Bakr helping him get his freedom, there were many people in the background saying that the Prophet ﷺ should not have done that for him and that he's not an Arab and all of this other kind of stuff, racism stuff. So the Prophet ignored that and began putting Bilal ibn Rabah, Master Bilal, in these very key positions. So the first position was to call the people to the prayer. The prayer in which is the first thing that will be judged on the day of judgment. If your prayer is no good, none of our deeds will be looked into. So the Prophet, in his own way, in his wisdom, was guided to put Bilal in that position to ensure that the people hear the Adhan, that they get alerted that it's time for the Salat. The most important aspect, because it's the first thing that we'll be judged on the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah. And so the Prophet ﷺ didn't stop there. He went forward and he began to acquire needs for the community and for himself and his family. And so he put Bilal in charge of the Baytul Mal. So now he's not only in charge of calling you to prayer, but he's also in charge of the resources that came in and went out of the community. So Bilal took that position as well. The third position that the Prophet ﷺ attached to Bilal ibn Rabah was his own personal assistant. That everywhere the Prophet ﷺ went, Bilal was there. If you went to see the Prophet ﷺ and you knocked on his door, Bilal would open the door. And he would give you permission or tell you to come back later or say the Prophet could not see you or the Prophet would see you and so on and so forth. Bilal was responsible for all of that. Bilal was responsible for the resources that came in and out of the community. He was responsible for raising funds. He began to handle these very key positions, and he did them without making any mistakes, without falling short, without doing any of those things. So Bilal ibn Rabah, may Allah be pleased with him, was not only known for calling the Adhan, but also being the personal assistant of the Prophet, but also being the person in charge of all of the money in the community. He was also responsible for the iconic verse of the Quran where Allah says, Ya ayyuhal nas, inna khalaqnakum min dhakarin wal untha, wa ja'annakum shu'uba wa kaba'ila li ta'arafu. Inna akramakum indallah atqakum. O people, verily we created you from a male and female, made you into tribes and nations so that you may recognize the good in one another. Verily the most honorable of you in the sight of Allah is he who is the most God-conscious. And this was the verse revealed because when the Prophet ﷺ and the companions finally came back to Mecca, and it was the conquest, and they asked, the Prophet asked Bilal to get on top of the Kaaba and call the Adhan for the first time. And so he got on top of the Kaaba, and when Bilal came down from the Kaaba, the Prophet ﷺ was sworn by individuals who were supposed to be from amongst the community who were upset with him because he had Bilal call the Adhan. They said, why would you choose someone who was an ex-slave to call the Adhan? Why did you choose a noble person from Mecca to call the Adhan? Why would you allow him to stand on top of the Kaaba? And so on and so forth. And as a result of that, Allah revealed this verse in Surah 49. He revealed the verse in Surah 49 to clarify to all people for all time what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recognizes in people. He don't recognize where you come from. He don't recognize the language you speak. He don't recognize any of those things. He recognizes your ability to be conscious of him and to act upon that consciousness. Imam Muhammad said to us that we should follow the best thereof. And we're looking at this idea behind following the best thereof. When it comes down to the life of Bilal, we follow the part of Bilal, may Allah be pleased with him, that represented his footsteps preceding that of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so we look at that, and we are here today, dear brothers and sisters, to tell you that we have enough to go to continue going forward, to take pride in being, if you want to call yourself Bilalian, go ahead. But make sure that you equip yourself with all of those things that it took for Bilal to become who he became, and follow that path, dear brothers and sisters. That Bilal in us, that the Imam was trying to share with us for 33 years. We drank from that cup, dear brothers and sisters. And this is what we have in common. And we have a genuine love for each other as a community. Please, brothers and sisters, let's not ever let that die. And this is the point of us having Study Islam. This is the point of us being engaged in this continued conversation with one another, to uplift each other. And Bilal is an upliftment to us. His iconic lifestyle, what he did, his sacrifice, his sincerity, his devotion, it's unmatched, dear brothers and sisters. Who was closer, dear brothers and sisters, to the Prophet in his personal life? Who was closer to the believers than someone calling you to get up for Fajr prayer for your Salat? Who is closer to the believers than one who is, when you come and you need food, you're going to them to get the food? This is the same black man that you said, the son of a black woman. This was a derogatory term they used during that period. I sit here today as the son of a black woman, proud to be who Allah made me to be, knowing that he said to us and declared this to us, that we're the best. He declared that we're the best in many ways, dear brothers and sisters, by action, enjoining right, forbidding wrong. That's what makes us the best. Believing in Allah, it makes us the best. But also, being the best in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in honor is those people that have put inside of our minds and our spirits and hearts to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all the things that we do. He didn't say be perfect. He didn't say that we had to have a whole lot of Quran and Sunnah. I didn't have to be Hafiz of the Quran to come to this conclusion. We look at the life of Bilal ibn Rabah and we see he did all of that without all of that fiqh that they talk about now. He did all of that without all of that sirah that they talk about right now, with all of that, without being hafid of the Quran. The Quran wasn't even revealed completely at that time. But Bilal did all of that, dear brothers and sisters, starting from nothing and ending with something. The greatest honor is to have his footsteps, dear brothers and sisters, preceding that of Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And for those who try to downplay the role of Bilal ibn Rabat, you can look at all of the things, the little things that were said. If we go back to the beginning of this presentation, we'll find that there are so many other things that we were able to put in this particular book. And we're not trying to sell a book today, dear brothers and sisters. We're trying to put ourselves in a position to where we share with you what has touched me. We share with you what Imam Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted us to see. We share with you those things that make us better than who we were yesterday, that makes us better going forward. And we can meet that challenge without fear and hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would continue to bless us. We look at the conquest of Mecca, and we ask the question, what place was worse than Mecca? Bilal was leading the charge with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was able to have this breakout moment where he was able to stand on top of the Kaaba and announce his freedom, dear brothers and sisters, to everybody who doubted that he should be free, everybody who was opposed to him being free. And he didn't go back, dear brothers and sisters, and get revenge on everybody that did something to him. He wasn't that kind of guy. Although we know in the Battle of Badr, he met with Umayyah ibn al-Khalaf, and this was Allah's will, but he met with him for all of the things that he did, the terrorist acts that he committed against him and his family, terrorizing his mother, his father, brutalizing them. And Bilal wasn't able to do something. But now he was able, through Islam, have the freedom to get some get back. As a people, dear brothers and sisters, we had got some freedom and we didn't try to get any get back. And America should be looking at us saying, we're so thankful that the merciful creator sent those people, because they've been so merciful to us, despite all the things that we're going through now in society, how we're reminded of our past. We haven't taken that position to go get revenge on any of the things that have been done to us for centuries. So we look at Bilal ibn Rabah's life, and we find that even after the Prophet ﷺ's death, Bilal didn't go back to Abyssinia. He didn't never live in Abyssinia. He went to Damascus. He went to Syria. He stayed there. And when Abu Bakr asked him why was he leaving, Bilal responded to him. He said, did you free me so that I can serve you, or did you free me so I can serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And Abu Bakr affirmed that he freed him so he can serve Allah, so he was allowed to leave. And he went there and he stayed there, and he came back maybe once or twice to Medina. And he called it down one time for Hassan and Hussein, the grandsons of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when he called the Adan, he was so shaken when he got to Ashhadu Anna Muhammad al-Rasulullah that he was not able to finish. That was his deep love of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, their bond. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed interest in him, they had a genuine relationship. And what we take from that as a people is that our relationship should be genuine all the time. Nothing should come in between our relationship as a people, our relationship as a brotherhood, our relationship as a family. Nothing should come in between that. We should be able to work anything out, dear brothers and sisters. And it's important that we understand that these are the messages that we receive and extract from the life of Bilal ibn Rabat, that he was everywhere. We should be everywhere. We should be somewhere where we're handling business. We're conducting farms. We've got cannery. We got a hospital. We got nursing homes. We got places where we get our own gas. We should have all of that. Bilal was everywhere. Why aren't we everywhere? And we say that we're Bilalians. We should be everywhere despite the circumstances that we're facing, despite all of the odds against us. We are still able to make it through. Allah still made it possible for us to get Islam. When we got Islam, dear brothers and sisters, when we finally got it, we didn't have a village of sheikhs that we went to and we were able to get the information from, and we didn't have the voluminous hadiths, and we didn't know the Arabic language, but Allah still made it possible for us to get Islam, for us to have men like Qasim Ahmed, may Allah be pleased with him, Fahim Shuaib, and all of those other, Dr. Nasser Ahmed, all of these men who came from us and who did not sit at the knee of somebody from somewhere else. They sat with Muhammad, our Imam, Dr. Waruquddin Muhammad, the son of Elijah Muhammad. And if they had not been Elijah Muhammad, they would have never been a W.D. Muhammad, dear brothers and sisters. So I'm proud of that history as well. But I also know that going forward, what we got from Imam Muhammad, he poured into us, everything that Allah poured into him. The Prophet ﷺ said that whatever the Jibril poured into him, he poured into Abu Bakr. They said that wherever Muhammad ﷺ went, you saw Bilal with him. And the Prophet ﷺ was pouring that into him. And we need to pour that into each other. We need to take these programs and support them and pour whatever we have. Even if it's just a verse of the Quran, even if it's just a simple tradition, even if it's just a way and attitude and behavior that makes us remain proud of where we come from, dear brothers and sisters. The story of Bilal ibn Rabah is far larger than what I shared with you today. There are many ahadith about him. There are many things that they did in their writings in the past that they tried to block him out. There are many things that they did, but there are many verses of the Quran that the Prophet and the companions were able to receive, and they were based on things that took place concerning Bilal ibn Rabah. You, just like Bilal, are just as important to this community, and I'm talking about the worldwide Muslim community, not just the community of Imam W.D. Muhammad. That's from whence we came, and we're proud to be from that. But we are just as important. We, too, are in that chain of transmission. We're in that link, dear brothers and sisters. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless Master Bilal ibn Rabah, to bless the one who introduced us to Bilal ibn Rabah, Imam Dr. Waruquddin Muhammad, and who was clear on where we need to go concerning his mission, concerning that life that we were able to get on a regular basis, that he told us about him from time to time. He had the thing he wrote about thinking on Bilal. We have that in the book. All the things that the Imam said about Bilal ibn Rabah, how that was a community effort that we should make. When we look at Bilal's life, we find that he, not only did he was the personal assistant of the Prophet, but he also was a family man. He also had a wife. He also had a brother. He had two wives, as a matter of fact. Bilal, may Allah be pleased with him, never ever took credit for anything that he'd done in the community. He always looked at it as if he was in the service of al-Islam, that he was in the service of Allah.
So Brother Imam?
Yes.
Brother Imam, I want to just ask you, because we're getting ready to come to a close.
Yes.
First of all, I want to ask you, how can the believers order your book? Because it is important that the book is circulated. So tell us how it can be ordered so we can put it in the chat.
Okay, you can order the book by simply emailing to your Ashifa Incorporated at gmail.com or and YOURASHSHIFAAINC.
Can you take down your screen, Brother Imam? Or
yes.
Is there something else that you wanted to point out before you take it down?
Yeah, I want to point this last thing out.
Okay. Because we want to bring this to a close,
yes,
with a couple,
yes,
of things, but yes, no,
yes,
please, go
I
ahead.
Let me just see if I can pull this down.
Of course.
I just want to say this to everyone. I appreciate you inviting me on and listening. It's an honor in and of itself, but I have to tell you this. We've only covered some portions of Bilal's life because we don't have time. Time
right.
Doesn't permit. And there is a parallel to our community and why it's necessary for us to look at that iconic figure,
sure,
and look at that as a means of going forward. Now, we look at this thing here, this last piece here. We talked about without sanctuary. They brutalized Master Bilal so that he can see with an aim. They wanted to break him, okay? And we look at this history of ourselves. There's a book called Without Sanctuary by Twin Parks Publications. They show all of the people in our community from the early 1900s all the way to 1964 that they would go out on Sundays and they would snatch up in the street and they would get nobody coming back to protect them or help them, and they would lynch our people. Now, I'm only saying this to you is because this is the type of thing that happened to Bilal. No one came to help him. No one came to protect him. And this is what they did to our people over and over again. There's over 4,000 murders that took place like this, where they would burn out with people, they would hang out with people, male, female, woman, child. They would barbecue, where they would put a person on a stake and burn them. This is what the brutalization they did to our people. This was savagery. And so during the Meccan period, they also were savages in their way of trying to break someone or correct someone. And so I'm only sharing that piece with you so that you can know, dear brothers and sisters, our history is not a walk in the park. We didn't come from an easy path. We came from a way that was similar to how Bilal came in, born out of conflict, dear brothers and sisters. And so we ask you at this time to follow the best thereof, to look at this thing in a way that you can follow the logic through its logical conclusion, that you can remember what the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to us concerning this brotherhood. He said, when they asked him, is there anyone better than us? They asked the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and these were some of the key companions. Bilal was there, and he says, and it was a casual conversation, and he says, na'am. And when he said na'am, meaning yes, that there was someone better than them, this no longer became a casual conversation. It became a class, but not a class for them, but a class for all time. And this is what he said. That they will be a people who will come after me, who will believe in me, and who have never laid eyes on me. Who was he talking about, dear brothers and sisters? You take what we say about Bilal ibn Rabah, but take that message of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who guaranteed, who prophesied that there will be some people that will come and who will believe in him and who have never laid eyes on him. All of the things that we do as a people, we do because Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. Imam Muhammad shared with us his message, his tafsir. It was based on what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam exemplified. He never met Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but he believed in him, and he transferred that over to us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to aid us to be of those who he has mentioned in that particular prophetic tradition, which is authentic, and it comes through many chains and many other different translations of it in different times where he said something like that. But we ask Allah to aid us to remember him and to show gratitude to him and worship him in the best way. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless all of our pioneers, to bless our pioneers, and that we inspire those young people coming after. That we inspire them, but we tell this story so that we can transfer that information so that our legacy, our history, based on our narrative, dear brothers and sisters, can continue to live on. Nobody's going to do it. Our narrative. May Allah help us. To that we say, Ameen. Allahumma rabbana hablana min azwajina wa duriyatina kurratan ayun wa ja'ana li mutaqina imama. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa al-Muslimin. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma ameen.
I want to say on that I think the notes that I have prepared are so apropos to follow up on what you have just presented. I want to just say to everyone to remember to listen to Imam Muhammad's talk in the newsletter on the topic Muslims and World Leadership. I leave you with this, but I want to emphasize this is not a quote, okay? This is just my summary, my notes that I'm sharing with you to inspire you to listen to the recording and the newsletter. You must listen to his talk to get a complete picture of his message to us. And this is what I wrote from his talk. God wants the establishment of the human person. If you study the Quran, there is an effort and a plan to build people individually. Now, Imam Abdul, you just talked about the suffering of Bilal, and you compared it to us as a people during our enslavement and our legacy. Now, Imam Muhammad says, if you study the Quran, there is an effort and a plan to build people individually. Surely Allah built Bilal individually. Here he is today what he did as the first caller, we are still doing this in the world. We are following in the footsteps of Bilal. Let me finish from Imam Muhammad's talk. He said the Ummah, the community, is mentioned later when it is mentioned in connection to its to the people. He said, Allah says, you are the best community, but something has already happened to the people. Once the person is turned on, the Muslim life can then be established. Now, what we have in the person walking on earth is the person that Allah wants. So Imam Muhammad says that we need to really understand that our position as Muslims in world leadership is our individuality, what we bring to this effort, that Allah raises whom he pleases when he pleases. So I'm so inspired by your talk and doubly inspired. Brother Imam, can I get your attention?
Yes.
And doubly inspired by what I heard in Imam Muhammad's talk in the newsletter today that is certainly supports and is very consistent with your presentation. With that said, I want to just say that next week, the second Sunday, the series is on the opening and operating Islamic schools. I have taken out weekend schools just so I don't give anybody a heart attack. Speaker is Clyde El Amin. His topic is why we should teach our children and students the commentary on the Quran taught to us by Imam Waduthuddin Muhammad. May he be high in paradise. So please invite others, your friends and family, to join us on Study Al-Islam as we devote time to develop and achieve the best of our human excellence. So, Brother Imam, I want to just say thank you again. You know, your energy is felt all over the world. You have an amazing energy. I do, again, want to encourage everyone to listen to Imam Muhammad's talk in the newsletter. It is absolutely, it supports and consistent with what you have just presented. So, Brother Imam, until next week, I am your sister and friend. Can you close us out, Brother Imam Abdulaziz?
Before we close, I just want to tell you, sister, you have our full support. You can call on me anytime you need.
Thank you.
I don't care what time of day or night it is, but we're here. You're my sister. We appreciate you, and we're supposed to be like that because you're on the mission doing the work. We appreciate you. May Allah continue to bless you, preserve you,
keep
you well, and all of those good things. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us, to remember him, and to show gratitude to him and worship him in the best way. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us steady on this path and stand up to whatever he puts in front of us and the challenges that we face, and to do so with complete faith and the guidance that he has blessed us with through the Quran and the life of his prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wal asr. Innal insana lafi khusr. إلى الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Thank you so much.
Until goodbye.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. With Allah's name, most merciful benefactor, most merciful redeemer. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. I bear witness there is no God save Allah alone, and that there is nothing worthy of worship or praise except Almighty God Allah. And I further bear witness that Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed Almighty God's most humble a servant and messenger. Praise be to Almighty God. We are grateful to share with you the present occasions from the Study Al-Islam platform in Washington, D.C., beloved sister Fitra Muhammad, praise be to Allah. And we are grateful for the present occasion of our beloved Imam Abdul Aziz on the subject of master, of Master Bilal ibn Rabah. Praise be to Almighty God Allah. I'm going to the phone lines now. If there are any of you that have any statement that you would like to make at this time, we ask that you press 1 on your phone, and we will greatly appreciate your sharing your beneficial information with us. I'm going to 727-408. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Praise be to Allah. Thank Allah for all the valuable insight and the people in our community and outside
now
our community.
Can you speak up? You're sounding very faint and distant, if you would, please.
Okay. Okay. How did I say? Oh, I'm sorry. Here we go. I'd love for Imam Hamid to inform us about the program that comes on today, very enlightened program, dealing with the direction that Imam Muhammad left for his community. And alhamdulillah, this is something that I would like to share. Reason and logic for family. Each person working for peace. On any scale, we won't fail. Fulfilling all obligations, productive and loving conversation. When necessary, mutual consultation. Having a strong disposition toward truth, a futuristic outlook. Imagining what the best way to do what we were created to do. Business for family and community. Following and obeying the guidance in our holy book. Our mother should teach her daughter how to do many things except cook. A father will instill in his son to focus on taking care of his own family one day. They both should aspire to go higher. Parents should always encourage their children, always ask them to do better and stay together. Truth seekers, business owners, and community leaders. Good mothers and fathers, free thinkers, industrialists like Adam. Halal butchers, slaughtering chicken and lamb. The creation will get up in treasures. Bounties without measure. Praise you, Allah. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you, Bilal. Wa alaikum assalam. Praise be to Almighty God, Allah. You have a most beautiful and prestigious name, Bilal. Praise be to Allah. And thank you, Bilal, the poet laureate of American Muslim 360. We are grateful for your contribution, my beloved brother Bilal. Praise be to Allah. Alhamdulillah. We are grateful for the information coming from our beloved Imam Abdul Aziz concerning the life and personage of Bilal ibn Rabah, the Bilal. Praise be to Allah. There was a neglect of even mentioning Bilal prior to Imam Wafuddin Muhammad Rahimahullah Alayhi introducing Bilal to this community and naming our a newspaper, the Bilalian News, and also encouraging us to identify ourselves as Bilalian. Praise be to our Almighty God. And as our beloved Imam Abdul just shared with us, there are many similarities to the life of Bilal and to our life on this earth. Praise be to Almighty God Allah. They leave out a lot of valuable information concerning Bilal. The Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, he said to the companions, he said, I heard footsteps entering paradise before me. And the companions asked, Who could enter the paradise before you, Rasulullah, O Messenger of God? And Prophet Muhammad answered, prayers and peace be on him, I heard the footsteps of Bilal preceding me into the Jannah, into the paradise. What a laudable statement, praise be to Allah, what an uplifting statement, alhamdulillah. And the Master Bilal was the first mu'ezzin, the first caller to prayer. And the Prophet Muhammad is the one that gave him that station. It is reported that Bilal had such a beautiful, melodious voice that as he was calling the Adhan and the Iqamah, it brought tears to the eyes of the listeners. It is reported that you could see the tears dripping from the beards of those that heard this melodious, beautiful call to prayer. That is our beloved Bilal ibn Rabah. He was designated to call the world to prayer as we are designated to remake the world. And it begins with prayer. Praise be to Almighty God Allah. In Syria right now, they truly highlight and memorialize the grave site of our beloved brother, Bilal ibn Rabah. There are many children on the earth now whose parents have named them after Bilal. Praise be to Almighty God Allah. Also, as our beloved Imam shared with us, Imam Abdul Aziz, that the owner or the persecutors of Bilal, they were persecuting him. They had drugged him through the streets behind running horses or camels, and they would ask him to renounce the oneness of Allah, and he never did. They took him out in the desert under the blazing heat of the Arabian desert, staked him out, and laid heavy stones upon his chest, and they would ask him to renounce the oneness of Allah. And he could only muster the strength to say, Ahad. Ahad means one. And as Imam Abdul Aziz shared with us, our Prophet Muhammad, we pray the prayers and the peace be upon him, became aware of what was happening to Bilal, and he sent Abu Bakr, may Allah be pleased with him, to go to see if he could rescue Bilal from this terrible situation. And as we heard our Imam Abdul Aziz state, that Abu Bakr paid for Bilal's manumission, his freedom from those terrible slave masters and those that were oppressing them. Now, I have read a report that as they were leaving that area, Abu Bakr was carrying a bag or a pouch or something, and that he paused and handed package over to Bilal to carry. Bilal stopped him at that point and said to him, if you freed me to serve you, then you should have left me back with those men. I am free to serve Allah alone. And Abu Bakr accepted that correction, I'm quite sure, and it entered his heart. Praise be to Almighty God, Allah. So I ask you if you have anything that you would like to share based upon the wonderful presentation this morning, the life of Bilal ibn Rabah. Master Bilal, I ask that you press one on your phone. I will unmute your mic. If not, we shall bring this broadcast to an end. But I have a side note I want to share with you at this time. Very important. I ask you, don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while, God willing, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum. Join us each and every Sunday from 5 to 7 Eastern Standard Time and 4 to 6 Central Standard Time for the broadcast of the contemplations of Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad, sharing his insights, his wisdom, and his knowledge here on America Muslim 360, utilizing the books edited by Brother Morocco, Brother Ghani, and Brother Ronald B. Shaheed. So we look forward to your presence as we share the insight, the logic, and the thinking of our beloved Imam Muwahhidin Muhammad here on America Muslim 360 on a myriad of subject matter. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah. So we look forward to your participation this evening as we share the contemplations of our beloved Imam Muwahhidin Muhammad, Rahimallah Alayhi. Praise be to Almighty God. If there is no one that have anything that they would like to share, if you do, then I ask you to press 1 on your phone. I will unmute your mic, and you can share with the listening audience the valuable content that Allah has placed within you, inshallah. We came to you this morning with the greetings of peace. We leave you this morning with what? First, let me introduce myself. I am Kareem Hamid, the radio station manager for America Muslim 360. And I thank Almighty God for each and every last one of you for making this broadcast possible. Praise be to Allah. We came to you this morning with the greetings of peace. We leave you this morning with the greetings of peace in the Quranic Arabic language of Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. May the peace, mercy, and blessings of Almighty God be upon you and upon us all. May we purify our intentions, keep our hearts right, keep up our prayers, remain forever regardful of Allah, and remain forever grateful and thankful for what Allah has given to us, has entrusted to us. Praise be to Almighty God. I bring you now the voice of Abdul Rahman Hatton. We got to be thankful.
Early in the morning, seal of prayer, Milton's fresh brewed coffee, as I stumble down the stairs, tiptoe by the bedroom where my children used to sleep. 25 years later, I still pray my Lord their souls to keep. Grab my keys, grab my hat, and I head on out the door. Crank up my old pickup truck, and off the work I go. But I gotta be alright,
gotta be alright,
do the best that I can. Try and make a difference, cause that's just who I am. I've gotta be strong,
gotta be strong,
and little helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But you gotta be thankful,
gotta be thankful,
gotta be grateful for my life, and all the things he's given me that make my life my life. For the warm rays of sunshine, stars that light the night, friends that last forever, and my children and my wife. Now there's a little boy, he lives down the street, who wants to grow to be a man. But life is rough and the streets are tough, and he tries to understand. He said, mister, can you help me? Can you lend a helping hand? Tell me why the life's so rough. Can you help me understand? Well, I think about the days gone by and the things my daddy said, and the wisdom that he shared with me still lingers in my head. He said, you gotta be alright, you gotta do the best that you can. Try and make a difference in any way you can. You gotta be strong,
gotta be strong,
and lend a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But you gotta
gotta be thankful.
You gotta
be grateful for your life and all the things he's given you that makes your life your life. For the warm rays of sunshine and the stars that light the night, and friends that last forever, and your children and your wife. Go back to colors, and I sing the day's last prayer, asking for his blessing for people everywhere. And our sons and daughters who fight in foreign lands, trying to make a difference for their families. But they gotta be alright. They gotta do the best that they can. Try to make a difference any way they can. They've got to be strong. And lend a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But they gotta be thankful. They gotta be grateful for their lives and all the things he's given them that make their life for the warm rays of sunshine. Stars that light the night, and friends that last forever, and their children and their wives. Yeah, they gotta be thankful. For the warm rays of sunshine, stars that light the night, friends that last forever, and their children and their wives. Say they gotta be thankful.
Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you.